I became a magical manifester when I stopped setting goals and started setting intentions. And no, it's not a matter of semantics. The difference between goals and intentions is that goals are results focused. It's about the number. It's about the achievement. It's about the milestone. Whereas intentions are about who you become, how you feel, regardless of the result. I like to tell myself, be committed to the process, but release the result. Release tension, set intention. What is intention? Intention is where you put your attention. Where attention goes, energy flows, and what you focus on will grow. And one of the ways that I like to set intentions is by making a vision board. So today I'm going to walk you through my exact process for setting intentions and making a digital vision board. It's the self-love practice that encapsulates identity, passion, purpose, creativity, right? It lets you get a little creative with the way that you construct your vision board. You get to lean into your dreams, desires, and overall, of course, a sense of self-worth. Hi, hello. Welcome to Mary's Cup of Tea, the self-love podcast for women, though all self-lovers are welcome here. I'm Mary. I write and speak about self-love, and I'm best known for my book, The Gift of Self-Love, and I also host retreats for women. And this is the podcast that will inspire you to love yourself. One quick caveat here, you do not have to subscribe to the January 1st, New Year, New Me, New Year's resolutions. That is not what this is about. You can actually do this process at any time. The week between Christmas and New Year, for me personally, feels like a good time to do it because you kind of have like a little permission slip from corporate America or whatever to take that time off and to kind of, you know, dig around. And I think digging around is actually quite important for the vision boarding process because you have to take your time with yourself. You have to noodle on those desires, but you do not have to do this on December 31st in time for January 1st. At any point, you can shift your mindset. At any point, you can just like wake up and decide that you're going to be a different person, or maybe decide, better yet, decide that you are going to be your person, not different than yourself or not what you think you should be, but just kind of lean into a more embodied sense of self. And if you want to follow along with the exact templates, you can go to maryscupoftea.com/vision to get those. It's also linked for you in the description. I use a platform called Notion, which is like my second brain. And I incessantly talk about it to anybody who will listen because it is just made business, life, organization. I do all the podcast workflows in here, my social media content calendar, personal note taking, managing house renovations, like finances. Literally everything is housed and organized inside Notion, including my vision board. I wish this was sponsored, but it's not. Those templates I made in Notion because that's what I personally use. So again, that's maryscupoftea.com/vision, but no pressure. You can also open up a notebook or the notes app on your phone and follow along that way. So to start, let's just energetically calibrate ourselves. Imagine that you are a radio and you are tuning yourself to a frequency of expansive, abundant, aligned, juicy, sexy self-love when you are making your vision board. This is not a to-do list. This is not a weapon for everything that you need to do and be and have overnight without any respect for your humanity, your capacity, without giving yourself grace to just exist without the goals. And intentions are just a much more grounded, spiritual, graceful, embodied approach to who you want to become. And again, focusing on the process and not the result. I recently heard this idea that I'm just absolutely in love with. The difference between being happy with your life and being happy in your life. Think about that for a second. What's the difference between being happy with your life and being happy in your life? to me, being happy with your life is very capitalism, comparison, hierarchy, grind, achieve, checking the boxes, performing the results, outward third person perspective of being happy with your life, where you're like observing yourself, kind of like if you've ever been under the influence, like high or drunk, and then you kind of dissociate and you're suddenly feeling insecure about how you sound, if your jokes are funny, how you look, and you can't seem to like calibrate to be fully from that first person perspective, that seeing and perceiving from yourself, from this heart-centered place, right? Whereas being happy in your life is that root word, right? That in, like in, I'm here now. That feels like Mother Nature. That feels like seasons and flow and freedom, and knowing that all the ebbs and flows, the moon rises and waxing and crescent and waning and new moon and full moon, like all of those cycles can be seen through to completion. And honoring the cycles is the key to getting us happy in our life, because that's when we're able to accept, embrace, maybe even enjoy every part of the process, rather than checking the boxes. How does it look? What did I achieve? What's the number in the bank account on the scale? What do I have to prove in pleasing your parents or the church or society or whoever you've historically felt pressure to please? Your life is not porn for other people's consumption. Now, let me take a dramatic sip of tea here. So, step one. You are going to go through the past year teasing out the highs and lows from memory as much as possible for every month, from memory, recalling significant events, dates, birthdays, anniversaries, trips, parties, like little things like that to kind of help you recall everything that has happened and how you felt, right? This is all about how you felt during these particular peak emotional experiences. Why am I asking you to do this from memory? I know it can be a little bit of a challenge, but it's going to just help you remember and relive your life more poignantly. And of course, then you can go through the photos on your phone, make it fun, like actually see what you missed, right? But the way I did this is the way my husband and I actually do it every year is we go on a long walk sometime around the end of December, and then I start just kind of walking us through everything that happened this year. And then he'll chime in with his POV or stuff in his life. You know, we recount big business deals and trips and highs and lows, and we just go through month by month. And so this page in your journal, your notes app, the Notion, is going to be called Past Year Review. You can do this verbally with a friend, a partner, with anybody, with your therapist, maybe. Maybe this is like a fun therapy session. And then I invite you to write it down so that way you have some sort of diary to look back upon later. So here's mine. This is a non-exhaustive list. I was noodling on it in preparation for this podcast episode, and I'm also going to add to it when I sit down in solitude to just like fully journal about what this past year has been like for me. But let's flash back to January. I spent a week in Cuba. I went to a giant Jewish wedding in New York. In February, I started getting really terrible lower back pain that has completely changed my life, how I see. My eyes have been open to disability rights. This was the month that I also began redesigning my home office, where I'm recording right now, into a dream podcast studio. I put Roman clay on the walls. You can see these pin boards behind me that I'm decorating. It's finally a space that I'm just so happy to work in every single day. And then that kickstarted my passion for interior decorating. My best friend came to visit for my birthday. I threw a dinner party at my house. It didn't feel super fulfilling, but flash forward to March, my husband and I invited over our neighbors for kebabs and sangrias. We've lived in this house for 6 years, and I realized that we've never actually gotten together with the neighbors, so I decided to be the first one to initiate that, and it was actually such a fun Sunday. I overall just feel so much safer and happier to be living where I am now that I actually know my neighbors, and I can't wait to get to know them more. And then in April, my husband and I put in an offer on an A-frame cabin in the woods because we've been wanting a summer house for a while, somewhere to get out of this Phoenix heat, but we got outbid, so we did not get that cabin. However, I did decide to do another retreat. Since we didn't get the cabin, I'm like, maybe this is a sign to continue hosting self-love retreats for women. In June, this is my sister's birthday. She turned 17, and we went to France. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you might have listened to our episode recapping our France trip, memories that we will remember for the rest of our lives. And then I came home from that France trip. It was a wild month, but I surprised my husband with a trip to Mexico City, and four of his other cousins and like their partners surprised my husband with their presence. He had absolutely no idea. Oh, I just love surprising people. I love trips. I love surprising people. I love my husband. And this experience just brought it all together. And then also at the end of July, my father-in-law had emergency open heart surgery. That was really hard. He ended up moving in with us in August after his double bypass. So we had lots of quality family time. And I was preparing for the retreat that was coming up in September. However, I had debilitating lower back pain. It definitely gets inflamed when I'm under high stress. So between taking care of for my father-in-law, like the physicality that it demanded, and then having the retreat coming up and just a lot of work projects and everything, I had really bad lower back pain to the point where I thought I couldn't do the retreat. I was fully getting ready to cancel, but I woke up the day that my flight was supposed to leave to Canada and had like literally a miraculous recovery. It lasted the week of the retreat, so I pulled through. My body showed up for me. I'm so grateful. Still dealing with the back pain, but at the very least, I got to host my 10th retreat, and it was incredibly special. Like this group of women, it was just, oh my God, I could go on and on about that. And then in October, we started our cabin search back up. We went and saw a couple places and then randomly got our offer accepted, which was I still can't believe it. We ended up closing on that cabin in November. And now we are renovating it. So that's my year in a nutshell. I'm still digesting a lot of it, but now it's your turn. Recap the year, go through month by month, and then make a brain dump of everything you want for next year. Put it all out there on paper in your journal or in the Notion. Just make a list. And also, don't be afraid to put silly stuff on your brain dump or then in your vision board. Like maybe you want to get a new perfume or like find your scent or a cozy lamp. Like I really wanted a lamp last year and I got my cozy lamp for my office. And let me tell you, it makes me so happy. So don't be afraid to put seemingly trivial things on your intentions and then your vision board, because your nervous system, it doesn't speak in spreadsheets. It speaks in sensations. So what's going to help you feel strong and courageous and excited and rejuvenated and adventurous, right? And full of self-love. A dramatic sip of tea here before we move on to step number three, which is create the vision. We are going to shift our brain dump of goals and turn them into intentions. The easiest way to do this, without overthinking, the easiest way to turn goals into intentions is to make sure that your verbs, like the way that they're phrased, is something you can do, feel, or be right now. So this brings me to a mistake that I think I kind of made with last year's vision board. I put get pregnant, but it just wasn't in the cards for us this year. And seeing get pregnant and then not being able to get pregnant, it was just like, there are so many things outside of your control, fertility, like just so many things, like I'm not even going to go into that. So instead, I'm going to invite myself and along with me, I hope to invite you to write it in a way that feels like, again, something you can do, feel, or be today. So getting pregnant becomes prepare my body for pregnancy, colon, taking my prenatals, set sexy alarms. Maybe there's a way to kind of rephrase the goal and turn it into an intention, which is about what you do, how you feel, or who you can be right now. So now the next step of this vision board process, step number 4, is the fun part. This is where you use that template or whatever way that feels good for you. You create your vision board. You can bring in photos. You can bring in quotes, links, words, make them into categories. Like, you organize it in a way. I have a template for you so you don't get overwhelmed, but you can make it in a way that feels good and looks good. So that way you can be happy in your vision board and also with your vision board, because I am not above that at all. And a quick gut check here: if you look at your vision board and it makes you feel tight, it feels like there's a lot of pressure, if you feel overwhelmed, then you need to reevaluate. A good kind of litmus test is, does it feel like you can exhale and kind of like breathe life into your vision board, or does it feel like it's sucking life out of you and you haven't even started like doing any of the action steps? You know what I mean? This is a tool for self-love, for becoming a version of you that you are in the present, like that constant practice, process, promise, journey of becoming, not the destination of having had become. We are living in our lives, not trying to make our lives be porn for other people's consumption. Okay, the last part of this vision board process is just a little cherry on top to tie a bow to it. Pick a word of the year. My word for last year was juxtaposition. I know that sounds fancy, but basically I have just been kind of obsessed with the contrast of things and how something like really cute, pretty, elegant next to something like grungy and weird and like grr can almost like emphasize both parts of that. And I really saw that in myself. Like, I wanted to embrace all the different parts of me, even if they're seemingly contradictory. And juxtaposition felt like a fun way to encapsulate that. So what word of the year do you want to pick? I'll put up a list. Maybe I'll include a list in the vision board template. If you download that, I'll update that ASAP. But maybe it's softness or integrity, expansion, pleasure, adventure, courage, groundedness, radiance, receptivity, being sovereign, bold, audacity. Like, your word of the year can literally be anything. I had a friend whose word of the year was cunty. And you know what? I love that. Maybe I will take that for this year. I haven't thought of my word of the year yet. Honestly, this is such a personal practice. It's going to come to you when it comes to you. So don't worry about, again, doing all of this in one sitting. Okay, so now that you're done with your vision board, are you supposed to look at it all the time and check in, make sure you're on the right track to meet your goals? No. That's the thing about vision boarding and setting intentions, is that part of the practice of trusting that it's all happening for you, that everything is just unfolding exactly the way it should be, is actually putting it away somewhere on your computer. You can let it live there quietly in a folder on your phone or somewhere that's easily accessible, but not something that you look at every single day. And your vision board is not a contract. It's a conversation with your future self. And a conversation has moments of spontaneity and of letting go and laughing and crying together and hanging out and changing along the way and saying something awkward and fumbling your words and messing up. Like, that is the part of the conversation. Let that be. So trust in yourself, in whatever higher power you believe in, if you believe in one, and remember that you are worthy, wonderful, and whole exactly as you are. A vision board is just a little something something to help you see it, and believe it. If you enjoyed this episode or implemented anything from this vision board process, I would love to hear from you. I would love to know your word of the year. I would love to know what you're proud of from last year. I would love to know what you're calling in for next year. Like, please share all of that with me by leaving a comment on Spotify or YouTube, a review on Apple, or you can always send me a DM over on Instagram. Your listenership means the world to me. I can't wait to continue this podcast. It's definitely a huge thing that I'm committed to for next year. So I'm not going anywhere, and I hope you're not either.